welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Pray that you would speak to us this morning, that we would learn your ways, that we would obey your ways, and that we would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Chris sends his love. He is ministering to some motorbike friends with their motorbikes, so... Yes. Actually, he really does minister to some of his motorbike friends. They make a joke. Some of them are, you know, not saved, and they make jokes about him. And one of them said, "So what, you're like a minister?" And he goes, "Yes." He said, "So what, if I die, you can do the funeral?" He said, "Yep, right here. We can do it right here." I remember when he came home and told me about that one. So God bless our pastor. We love him. And I'm so excited about Eddie and Sudie. I wanted to leap up on the stage and say something because it's just so exciting to be sending missionaries, basically, as a church. We love to do that. And it's no small thing to go and live in another country for a few years and sell all your fridge and your beds and sell everything. And it's a big deal. So I am so blessed by them and their courage, and we want to really support them as a church. We want to send them out well. I want you to think about how you can help them financially. Eddie will be able to work over there, I understand. So that's a blessing, but there'll still be expenses. So yeah, so pray about that. We really want to support them. We'll hear more about that over the next little while. Bless the Lord. Who loves a good tree? Who loves a good tree? A beautiful tree, like a jacarandas are looking pretty at the moment, aren't they? Or a willow tree. I grew up with a willow tree I loved in our front garden. I loved that willow tree because you could get underneath it and it was like you're like in a world inside. And then you could plait the things or you could use them for a whip. Or it was a great tree, that willow tree. Or a fruitful tree. We had a great lemon tree in Mount Kohler. We did absolutely nothing to it, and every year it was just beyond. You never know with fruit trees, do you? Sometimes you plant them and you just get very little, and other times they're abundant. Or a happy tree. Has anyone got a tree that makes them happy? You know, like that you had, we had a huge oak tree in the house. There was an empty block next to us, and we had the biggest oak tree, and we built the biggest, highest cover you can imagine. It was just so dangerous. And then from the top of that tree, we had a flying fox that went all the way down to the willow tree. It was crazy and so exciting and so, like, it was just crazy dangerous, but it was so happy just living in that. We lived up there, man. We take food up there. And trees are good. Christmas trees. Who read Enid Blyton, The Faraway Tree? Yes. Just that concept of a tree that, you know, the little kids would go to and then they'd climb the tree and it would take them into all these other worlds. I love that book. So in the Garden of Eden, there were an abundance of trees, and the Bible says they were beautiful and they were good for food. Genesis 2:9. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So first of all, God made trees beautiful. And can I just say also that God decides what's beautiful? God decides what's beautiful. You know how modern art, sometimes you're being told that's beautiful and you think, I don't find it beautiful. It really disturbs me. It's because if God doesn't think it's beautiful, it's not. So God decides what's beautiful, and he made trees beautiful. He made most of creation beautiful, actually. So it's lovely that he created things that were beautiful for us to look at, but he also created tasty food in the garden. Isn't that nice? It says it was good for food, so it's healthy and tasty. Isn't God good? He wants us to enjoy all our senses, to see beautiful things, to taste beautiful things. He had already created trees, but this special garden was for his children, Adam and Eve, who he created, and put them in this garden. And you'll notice that there were two trees that they specify: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And I want to speak this morning about the tree of life. Genesis 2:17, it says, "Then the Lord, Yahweh, God, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. In the day you eat it, you will die.'" So he gave them this place. He told the man clearly, these are the boundaries. It was a clear choice and a clear boundary. There's always a clear choice. There's always obedience, isn't there? God said, this is the boundary. I don't want you to go past this boundary. He could have made any boundary. He could have had anything. He could have said, don't walk over this line, don't jump in this river. He chose to make the boundary a tree. Sometimes it doesn't really matter what the boundary is. We just have to learn to obey the boundaries, right? So the story, most of you know, that then the devil tempted the woman to eat from that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. He lied and convinced her that it was all right to eat and that she would be like God. And she was tempted and she succumbed to the temptation. She ate. She disobeyed God. And then she gave it to Adam, who was apparently fairly nearby, and he didn't stop her, and he decided to disobey along with his wife. So don't do that, man. If your women disobey God, don't disobey with them. A lot of men do, you know. I've seen that a lot in church. I've seen women do disobedient things and the men just follow along. I'm like, can someone just not disobey? Women, men. So they were cursed because they disobeyed God. And when sin enters the world, we put a curse on ourselves. And that's what happened to the whole human race. Adam and Eve were cursed, and they sent that curse through their children and through all generations. We all sin. So Genesis 3:22 says this: "Then the Lord said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us. He knows good and evil.'" Because before this, they had no concept of evil. They didn't know what evil was. They were like sweet little three-year-old children who had no idea how bad the world is out there. They were just happy. And that's the way God wanted it to be. We don't need to know about evil. We don't get our three-year-old children and say, "Here, sit in front of this TV and see what's really going on out there." We try to save it for as long as possible, you know, because evil is not good to know about. It's certainly not good to engage in. And they didn't know about evil. They didn't understand it because they only knew the goodness of God and the goodness of their life. But now they knew about evil, and knowing, they would now partake. So now it says they are like us, knowing good and evil. "He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and then live forever." So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So this is really interesting. After they sinned and took from one tree, then he had to guard the tree of life. He says, now we cannot let them touch the tree of life. Which is interesting, because when they were in the garden, you know, they could eat the tree of life. They weren't banned from eating the tree of life. They were only banned from eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But once they'd eaten from that tree, now they couldn't eat from the tree of life. So what I want to look at is what is the tree of life? How is this tree of life significant to us? What is this meaning? Because it's quite a motif in our culture, actually. If I looked it up in the dictionary, and they said, "The tree of life is a common idea in cultures throughout the world. It represents a source of life, a force that connects all lives, or the cycle of life and of death itself." I thought, they don't even mention the Bible. Don't you know the way the world just steals our stuff? Like, the tree of life was in Genesis, for crying out loud. They never even mention that. They're just like, it's just this kind of lovely source, which it has been turned into. But it's more than that. It's more than that. The tree of life represents eternal life. It represents the life that God always intended for us to have, an eternal, abundant, divine life, the very life of God. And the reason that once they sinned, it was guarded so carefully was because now man could not access that eternal life by himself. He was cursed to die. And if somehow they had managed to sneak into the garden and avoid the cherubim, which of course is impossible, you know, but if they had, and if they had now eaten from the tree of life, it would have been terrible, because then they would be stuck in their sin forever. They would be in their cursed state for eternity on earth. So it was like they can't eat the tree of life now, because eternity in sin is horrific. So now we can't let them touch that tree of life until we deal with the sin. So that's why God guarded the tree of life. It's not that like he was now, oh, too bad, now you're going to be mean. He had a plan, and that plan did not mean being cursed for eternity. He wanted a new way. He wanted us to be blessed for eternity. So that's the beginning of this tree of life, this amazing symbol of God's eternal life that we could have partaken of, but we chose evil instead. So now let's go to Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, describes the tree of life as a central part of the Genesis creation story. It's like, really? Why is that? If we look at Acts 50 and a number of other times in the New Testament, it says this: the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Have you ever wondered why several times they talk about the cross, they describe it as a tree? There's that tree again. What's with the tree? So in Deuteronomy, they would talk about hanging people on a tree who were cursed. Jesus was cursed. And so when Jesus came and died on the cross, we know that he took that curse, right? We understand that he took the curse. He took the sin that Adam and Eve chose way back in the Garden of Eden. This was God's plan right from that moment, that Jesus would now take that curse. He'd take it on himself on a tree, a kind of tree, a sort of an ugly tree, stripped of fruit, stripped of everything, and just now just a cross, but kind of symbolic of a tree. Jesus would take that curse for himself, and on that ugly tree, he would now open the access to the eternal life that he now offered. On that ugly tree, he would open a way back to the tree of life, because Jesus is life. Jesus came to give us abundant life. So it's like Spurgeon even goes so far as to say this: we believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be none other than the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of nations. We can scarcely conceive any other interpretation, as this seems to us to be so full of meaning and to afford such unspeakable satisfaction. At any rate, if this is not the absolute purpose of the sublime vision that John saw, it is most certainly true that our Lord Jesus Christ is life from the dead and life to his own living people. He is all in all to them, and by him and by him alone, their spiritual life is to be maintained. So whether we see Jesus almost as the tree of life, or whether he is opening the way to the tree of life, it's very intertwined, isn't it? That we know that through Jesus, we can now eat the tree of life again. It's open to us. We can partake. Jesus said, come to me. Come and eat. Come and drink. So what was guarded by the cherubim, he's now saying, if you partake of me, if you are born again and accept me into your life, now you can eat the tree of life again. You can come back to that incredible, abundant life that was available in the garden. So this is what God wants for us. He wants our life to be full of this tree of life. So when I was going to Albuquerque and I was praying about what to pray for the people over there, the Lord really spoke to me about the tree of life. I always love it when the Lord speaks to me. And he gave me this kind of vision of these people in Albuquerque, and I feel to share it with you, of their homes, like in their living room, full of this tree. that they're it's like you walk into their home, it's like, whoa, there's a tree in your hand growing in your house. And, you know, if it was actually a tree, it would get in the way. But this is like a spiritual tree, and it's growing in their house, and the branches are going everywhere. And God wants us to have this fabulous tree growing in our life. He wants us to be, to have this, for it to be all of those trees can be, whether it's a happy tree, a playful tree, a beautiful tree, a fruitful tree. He wants that growing in our life. He wants that in our marriages to be a tree of life and not a place of death. And he wants it in our homes and in our hearts to this tree to grow. And I feel like the Lord said to us that sometimes we run away from him. We're nervous almost of that concept of the tree, of this blessing. We think, oh, I don't know. I don't know if God wants to, I don't know if God's way is the best way. I think maybe I can do something myself. I really had this sense that God says, you're nervous of this tree. Trees are quite big sometimes. They can be a little intimidating, especially if they grow in the wrong spot. But I felt like God said, no, this, I want you to come in. I want you to press into this life that I have for you. You know, like, look what Eddie and Sudie are doing. It's a really big step to go overseas. It's really stepping into what God has for you. And sometimes we can go, oh, no, I wouldn't want to do that. No, that's too hard. You know, I can't do that. But it's like God wants us to have a blessed life. He wants us to have more, not less. He wants us to know goodness. He wants us to experience this incredible tree of life in our world. But if we sort of back away from it and think, oh, no, no, I don't want that. It might be too hard. Then we're going to miss out. We're going to walk away from what he has for us. We need to trust him. We need to trust him and go, no, I'm going to partake. I'm going to get in this tree. I'm going to build cubbies in it. I'm going to eat the fruit. I'm going to do a flying fox from the tree. I can remember one girl just getting on the flying fox and then she just fell off. It's just like, what are you doing? You've got to hold on. It was so unsafe, honestly, but she was fine. But, you know, I guess we sometimes feel like that. Like if I jump into this life, it could be worse. It could be dangerous. It could be awful, but it's not, because it's a tree of life, not death. The life is freely given to us. We have to choose to be part of this life. Now, interestingly, the tree of life, once we've made the decision to follow Jesus, we are in the place where we can partake of it. And then again, we see it in Proverbs, the tree of life. It comes up again in Genesis and then in Proverbs. And so in Proverbs, it's interesting because the tree of life, it represents abundance and fullness, but there's also responsibility and choice, you know. We are all born for royalty. We are all born to be amazing people, but we could be like a particular prince and, you know, ignore our royal heritage and marry an American and forgo all our privileges and live like a commoner to some extent. I'm not talking about Prince Harry. I'm talking about the Duke of Windsor after the Second World War. History repeats itself, doesn't it? So he actually was meant to be king, and he did become king. He was never crowned, but he became king when his father died. And then he fell in love with American. What is it with these American women, honestly? Anyway, he fell in love with an American woman, Wallis Simpson, and he said he could not possibly be king. She was married at the time and had already been married a few times. And I'm not saying that's necessarily anything against her, but in those days it was too much for them to handle, especially the fact that she actually was married. So he said, no, I cannot be king without the woman I love by my side. So he abdicated and went and lived in France in exile, and, you know, got to meet Hitler and other various things. So it's like he couldn't partake of the royal life that he had. It was like he'd rather marry the world. He'd rather sort of settle for second best. It's like, no. Are we doing that? Are we sort of saying, like, you're royal, you're born for it. You're meant to have this royal life. You're meant to live in this abundant life. But sometimes it's like, I just can't let go of the world. I'm married to the world. I can't let go of the concept of having my money or my comfort or my whatever it is. And then you live off in exile, away from where you're meant to be. You live this sort of second-rate life. It's like, that's such a shame. That's not the way it's meant to be. God wants the best for us. And so once we accept Jesus, then we go to Proverbs. Let's look at what Proverbs says. Because in the tree of life, there's the abundant gift and the blessing, but there's also a level of responsibility and choice. And this is where Proverbs comes in. There's wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says this: happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Wisdom, and I'll just leave out a little bit there, is like a tree of life to those who take a hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. Wisdom is like a tree of life. So once we've accepted Jesus, once we've got this royal life in us, then we have to start to make wise decisions. And then it's like, there's that tree of life again. It's a tree of life this time, not the tree of life. But it's like, I can access this blessing and this joy by making wise decisions. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Jesus wants to fulfill our desires. He wants to bless us, not the desires of the flesh and sin, but the desires for eternal life, the desire for him, the desire for good things. And he puts dreams in our hearts, and that's a tree of life. So there's these little elements of how we can get a hold of this abundant life in our world. You know, I recently, just the other day, I was looking at a list on my iPad. You know, every now and again you get some preacher that says, write a list of everything you want. So I just do the randomest things. Of course, my great desire is to be more like Jesus and to serve him. But then I just put a whole bunch of other random things because I find it fun. I just find it curious. And then I was looking at that list and I just can't get over how many things have come true. And on the list was see the Grand Canyon. I thought, why not? I'll just write that on it. And then I didn't plan it or think about it, but then I did. I just saw it the other day and it wasn't like, can I please, babe, can we please, I've got to fulfill my list. I've got to tick the box. I've got to go and see the Grand Canyon. I forgot that it was on the list. I went, oh, well, seen the Grand Canyon. But the interesting thing about it is, you know, those sorts of desires, you know, I don't think it matters because I'll see the Grand Canyon anyway in the new earth. So it doesn't matter whether I do it while I'm alive now or later. I'm not that fussed about the timing. But the Lord often does give you these things. And the interesting thing is that when we went to see the Grand Canyon, we visited some other national parks in Utah. And I liked the other national parks more. I got to tell you, they were the Arches National Park and Canyonlands. I thought I was on the moon. I've never seen any kind of, it's just the most amazing geography and landscape. And so occasionally we think, oh, I didn't get what I wanted. It's like, if I hadn't have seen the Grand Canyon, I actually saw something better, but I may not have realized it. Occasionally God sort of just says, I tell you what, I'll give you something better. This is the tree of life, a desire fulfilled. God is so good. Yes, we have to have responsibility. Yes, we have to sort of stay in our royal position. And sometimes that means we have to move out into places like go and live in Bali. But that's where the tree of life is. That's where the abundant life is. And that's where our desire will be fulfilled. Let's look at it again. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So a tongue, so our words are also part of this. Are we going to be grateful? Are we going to speak life words, fun, interesting words? Are we going to speak the word of God? Because our words have great value. Or we can bring death through our words. We can cause our tongue, and I was talking in Albuquerque, I was talking about marriage, how some people bring death into their marriages by what they say. Just the ugliness and the nastiness and the criticism and the, you know, the complaining constantly. It just brings death. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. But look at this. A wholesome tongue, a beautiful healing tongue is again part of that tree of life. So there's salvation, but there's also some good decisions that will mean that we are experiencing this abundant tree of life. It says, Gill says this, a tongue that delivers salutary instructions, wholesome advice and counsel, which pacifies contending parties and heals the divisions between them. To have the benefit of such a man's company and conversation, it's like being in paradise. Because it says that. It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. To have the benefit of somebody who is truly beautiful with their words and kind and loving. That's a tree of life. That's because the tree of life, we'll get to it, but it's also in heaven. He says it's like being in paradise. The beautiful character of a righteous person is a life-giving tree of life. Proverbs 11:30, so there's about four times the tree of life is mentioned in Proverbs. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So there it is again. A righteous, beautiful person is again a tree of life. Some of you may have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. Who's heard of Johnny? Not as many as I would have thought. So she's quite one of those sort of Christian rock stars that we all knew about back in the day. In 67, as a 17-year-old, she took a dive into, I'm not sure, I think it was a lake, and she dived badly and broke her neck, and she became a quadriplegic. And she was severely depressed and struggling for the first few years. She can move this part of her arm, which means she can move her arms a little bit. But she was a Christian. She is a Christian. She's still alive. And she decided to just get on with it and follow Jesus and be grateful for what she did have. And she is a very capable young lady, or she's an older lady now. But she started to paint. So she was taught how to paint with a pen in her mouth, like this. And she's beautiful, beautiful paintings that she does. And she started to talk because, you know, she can use from here up quite well. So she started to talk, and then she established a ministry, Johnny and Friends, to help the disabled. And this ministry is amazing. She is amazing. It's all around the world now. They deliver wheelchairs to hundreds and thousands of wheelchairs to people, children in Africa who are just, you know, moving around. I remember when I was in Russia seeing this poor little kid on a homemade wheelchair. It was a few pieces of wood with some wheels that they'd collected, you know, and he was sort of shuffling on this thing, and I was like, oh. So her ministry is to bring wheelchairs to those people who can't afford wheelchairs. She's been an advisor for the National Council on the Disability. She's met with presidents to talk about, you know, disabled access and all those sorts of things. They host family camps. She it's called Wheels for the World, her ministry. You can see her on Instagram if you like. She preaches. She was a chaplain in the 2000 Paralympic Games. She's amazing. She's now 75 years old, and she represents this so well. She's a tree of life, a woman of wisdom and love. And it's not like just easy, is it? Like, she's not, it's not all easy being a quadriplegic, and, you know, she's, I don't know why she's not been healed. Who knows? We live with miracles and mysteries in this life. But I do know that she's taken hold of what she has got and what she can do. And that's a tree of life. That's what I'm talking about. If anyone could sit back and go, oh, there's nothing I can do now, I can't move. You know, there's a lot of things that go together with being a quadriplegic. It's not just that you can't move. It's not healthy for your body. But she has just gone, no, I am going to give, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to have an abundant life. She has an abundant life. She really does. Her life is huge. She ended up getting married to this sweet man who helps to look after her. She has this huge life, and yet she could be so miserable and so sad. But that's what the tree of life is. That's what it's like to have this incredible blessing and this fruit in our life. You know, God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be abundant, no matter the difficulties. He never promised that it would be like easy life, but he does want it to be abundant. Psalm 1:3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. God wants you to be fruitful, whose leaf does not wither. Yes, all the over 60-year-old says, no withering for me. We don't wither. We are abundant. We're beautiful. Whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Look at that. Whatever he does shall prosper. We have to decide whether we want to live this abundant life and be diligent like this and be like a tree, or whether we're just going to sort of hang out in the, I don't know, in the Lantana or something like that, you know? And the Lantana comes to mind because I was thinking about trees and how, I thought, what's the opposite of a tree? I thought, well, weeds. A Lantana. And I think I've shared the story of driving along the road when my children were teenagers. One time I was driving past Lizaro Primary and I remember seeing these kids and they'd climbed up a tree, and underneath the tree at that time it was just a mess of weeds and Lantana. There was just this massive amount of Lantana. And I remember driving along and watching, as I was driving, the boys jump out of the tree and land in the Lantana. I'm like, what stupid kid does that? Like, what? Who would do that? It's called Lantana. Is it a thing? Lantana jumping? Okay, well, whatever. I think it's a stupid thing to do. And as I drove past, I realized that it was my son. I went, that's my son. That's Hudson. I don't know if Luke did it as well, but it was definitely Hudson. And so, like any good mother of a teenager, what did I do? I just kept driving. You can't stop. What are you going to do? You can't stop it. It's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So, you know, you go through life with teenagers with broken bones. I don't think he broke any bones that time, but they're covered in scratches. I mean, Lantana has thorns. I don't understand. What, you don't need to jump into Lantana. But maybe if you're a foolish teenager, you can jump into Lantana. But anyway, the point is, what are you going to do in life? You're going to be jumping around in Lantana, scratching yourself and getting broken bones? And or are you going to be like a tree? Are you going to be in with Jesus and have an abundance despite the difficulties, despite the responsibility of holding your royal position and of holding your place or of dealing with your, you know, challenges in life? Whatever those issues are, you can still experience a tree of life as opposed to Lantana jumping. So let me encourage you to make that decision. Don't back away from it. It's not too late. It's never too late. Never, ever too late. And it's abundant. I think sometimes we don't trust God and we think, I'd rather do my own life. You know, you can have in the little niggle in the back of your mind, wow, you know, I could actually go and live in Bali, or I could actually give more money, or I actually could, you know, I don't know, join the choir or something. You know, that doesn't have to always be enormous things. They can be small things. But then you can just go, no, I won't do that. I'll just go home and go Lantana jumping with Netflix or something. I don't know. Let's not do that. Let's make a decision to press into the abundant life that God has for us. And if we don't feel like our life is abundant right now, then decide today. I want in. I want in on this abundant life. What does that look like, God? How do I access that life? I'm a Christian, but maybe you're not feeling like your life looks like a tree. Well, come on. So then to finish off, we see the tree of life in Genesis. We see it in Proverbs around wise choices. And there again, it comes up in heaven. So the tree of life is now our reward as well. They're into our hearts, they're pours forever the fullness of the divine life. Revelation 2:7 says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, this particular verse is actually talking to churches that are on earth. So it's interesting because it's almost like, if you're listening to me by the Spirit of God, I'm going to give you that possibility to access that reward even now, which I think there's some really interesting concepts there around whether the rewards are all just in heaven or whether they're now. I think that we're seated with Christ in heaven. I think some of these rewards we can start to access now, but surely completely and fully when we're in heaven. So in the New Jerusalem, this stunning celestial city, which is so contested over now for a good reason, but one day will be God's city again. Revelation 22:1-2, the angel showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city of the street. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. So it sort of straddled the river, this incredible tree, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So there it is, the tree of life again. Is it in heaven? 12 crops, crops every month, constantly fruitful and bringing healing to the nations. Revelation 22, 12 to 14 and 17. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to every person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. It must be special for God to keep mentioning it as a reward. They may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood or lies. Praise the Lord. So there it is. This is the reward. So make sure today, saints, that you have accepted Jesus into your heart and you have entered into this eternal life, and that the tree of life is part of your life and growing in your heart and in your life, in your home and your family and your marriage. Make sure. And if you have already made that decision, then make sure that you're connected. Stay connected to Jesus. Believe that God wants to bless you. Believe that there is an abundant life for you. Believe that it can start now. You know, who knows whether you're going to suddenly, I mean, it was the randomest trip that we did to Albuquerque. It was very random. I don't know, maybe God just planned the whole trip so I could see the Grand Canyon so I could tick off my list. I don't know, but God organized the whole thing. He wants to bless you, and you've got to make a decision. I'm not going to miss out because I think there's something else. I'm going to press into God, press into obedience, and experience that abundant life. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah. You know, just as I've shut my eyes, I'm just seeing a pot plant. And it's a crazy thing that we can limit God. He's given us so much authority to say yes to God or no to God. Like, ultimately we won't be able to, but to some extent we can. And I feel like for some people, their Christian life is like a pot plant. You know, it's just this nice, it's like, it's just there. It's just, I've got it all organized over there, the pot plant. Maybe it's in the corner of the house or on the veranda or something. I feel like God says, just take it out of the pot and plant it in the ground and watch the abundance. Don't allow your life with me to be limited by our own lack of foresight. Our life is like the click of a finger, so quick. And we're going to experience the delights of heaven for all eternity. Let's start now. Let's plant now. Father God, I pray for every one of us that we would press into your presence, into your word, into your life. Help us to have a right perspective of this life, to live it for you and with you and experience the abundance that you have for us, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.